Was there a point in time you said, I've had enough of this traveling?
I'm glad you brought that up. There was. As a matter of fact, I've worked with Ernest all that time, and also for a little while there, I'd done some booking for him and the Troubadours. I booked some dates for him with Atlas Artist Bureau and talked to Jack Cressy. I talked to Jack at KVOO, and I think he called the house in Hendersonville, and he said, I think we may be going country. He said, I talked to Harold Stewart, and Harold's going to go over and visit with the folks at WBAP, that own the newspaper there and own WBAP radio. And I can't remember their names, and I should.
In
Fort Worth, Texas. Bill Mack was there on the air at the time. And the station was doing good. They were playing country music 24 hours a day. That's all they were playing. Jack said he was trying to get Harold Stewart together with the gentleman over in Fort Worth, and they did. I think Harold went to Fort Worth and visited with him. They got to talking money and how the station was doing and this type of thing, and it was very successful. So Harold decided that they were going to go country. I moved back on the strength of Jack Cressy and went to work at KTOW in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. Worked for Buddy Powell over there.
So is that where Jack Cressy was, at KTOW?
Yeah, he was over there at one time, but he was already at KVOO at this time.
Okay, so he calls from KVOO and says, we're going to go to country.
Said, we're thinking about changing, going country.
But then you go to KTOW?
Yeah, because there was going to be a period of time in there, 6 months or something, before that decision was definite, before I could say anything about it. And then when they made that decision, of course, I left KTOW and joined KVOO.
Was KTOW country?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It was country station.
All right. So did he arrange to come on up here and work for KTOW?
He talked to Buddy Powell, who was a manager at KTOW.
Did he know that KVOO was
going
to go?
No, he didn't know that.
So
no.
Jack was just probably calling him. Would you do my friend a favor?
Yeah. Said he's coming back to Tulsa. That's exactly what happened.
Then you were coming back to an area that people knew, Billy Parker. I mean, you had made quite a splash around
here. Yeah, because we had been here playing with Ernest and the Troubadours 3 or 4 times.
Right.
So I guess momentum-wise, I maybe have been known here fairly well, but not...
Well, sure you were. You're on television.
We had already done the TV thing.
So we've already talked about the town knew who Billy Parker was.
Yeah.
And then you came back again, so it was all comfortable territory for you.
It was good. As a matter of fact, I mentioned earlier, we left Tulsa in United Van Lines, and I left Nashville in a U-Haul it, and I drove the U-Haul it, and Jerry drove the car home, and we packed our own furniture, and Billy Joe was just a couple of years old. I didn't want to be away from them that long. We'd be on the road with Ernest 30 days. Longest I remember is I think we were gone 26 days away from home, and I just got tired of it.
Talk about that a little bit. That just has to be wearing on a people.
John used to, we would go by E.T., Ernest Tubbs' house, and we'd pack albums, and I'm talking about LPs on the bus for a tour. Never under 12 days, never over 26 or 30. And we'd be gone. I mean, we would be gone. It gets lonesome. You call home, but in those days, you had to travel to make the bucks. And you had to travel to pay for the bus. Although it was an old bus, you had to travel to pay for the hotels. You had to travel to pay for everything that you did, and the family back home. And E.T. had a pretty big family, too, you know. So we actually just stayed on the road too much. Where the artists nowadays would go out for 2 or 3 days, and boy, they got it made. But you don't find anybody out there for 30 days or 25 days.
The fans see you on stage, and it looks like such a glorious life, and you're a big star and all that, and they go home to their lives, and you're just doing some, sounds like drudgery.
You have to really love the business back in those days to stay on the road that long. I loved the business, but I loved the family too.
Yeah. So it was time, wasn't it? It was time to move.
Yep.
And Jack Cressy did you a big favor by calling you.
Yeah, he did. He really did. He said, we're going country, and I want you to do morning drive. And Bill Mack was on WVAP doing the all-night show. And I said, Jack, you know what I'd like to do? I said, I'd like to do midnight to 5. He said, "You're crazy." I remember him trying to talk me out of it, and I said, "That's what I'd like to do." And he hired me to do midnight to 5.
How long did you do that, midnight to 5?
8.5 years.
KBOO. And you were talking to truckers?
Yeah, I had the Big Rigger Club, talking to truckers everywhere.
And were you singing then, too? I suppose
yep,
you were.
I was doing picking and grinning. That's part of the deal.
Because you did dates around here.
And I did dates here and in Louisiana and Texas and Kansas and around the area. I'd go out and still do my dates, yeah, and record. And he made that possible. I got to give Ron Blue and Jack Cressy credit for really believing in me and hanging in there with me.
Yeah. Jack Cressy was manager at KBOO for many
yes,
years.
Yes, he was.
I came here in 76. He was manager then, and Ron Blue was my manager at KRMG. And times were different in radio then, weren't they?
You can't believe now what we had the opportunity to do back then, and I couldn't even believe it then. But Jack Cressy and Ron Blue had got together, and you and I, we were 100,000 watts one morning on KVOO and KRMG.
Because we were both 50,000 watts.
That's right. And talking with each other and visiting. And that's another thing that I will never, ever forget, because that's just not even thinkable nowadays,
no.
You know.
KRMG was not playing country, so we weren't competing with you there, but it was the news station in town, and then playing some pop music and maybe some big band stuff.
But in a way, we were competing.
But there's no question we were competing. But still, the two of them had known each other for all those years,
yes,
and were friends and carried on that very good relationship, even to the point where I would have you on the radio. I don't know what I would talk to you about, but we did.
We did. We talked about a lot of things. And as a matter of fact, our ratings, the station ratings, KRMG, KBO, mm-hmm, were both very good. It seemed like mm-hmm one time around, you'd be number one.
Yep.
Next time around, we'd be number one. I mean, that was the good old days.
In fact, I remember you at KBO's numbers were really strong. And I think we started lacing in some country because we thought we could capture some of that audience.
I remember that. That yeah worried Jack a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that.
He probably thought we were going to go all country.
Wasn't that during the Urban Cowboy stuff?
In that period of time.
Yeah.
Right. That's something that would never occur today, of course. The competition is so stiff and so tight. As it was then, too. It still
oh,
was.
Yes, it was.
Ron Blue would come out with the numbers, well, KBO is beating us. Oh, we were down in the dumps. KBO was, well, today, now, then coming back again. Oh, KRMG is beating KBO.
I know. So Jack Cressy would say, oh, my gosh, they're getting us on this. I know. I lived through that stuff.
Well, they were good days.
From doing the all-night show to program director to operations director to now, I guess.
Yeah.